And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome one of Palmer's personalities, the city manager himself, Nate Wallace. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. Good to be here.
We're having an interesting day. Looking out, there's no snow.
Oh, there's snow.
Oh, you know where
it's just not new snow.
You put it into a special place. That's right. Right. There's no new snow. That's not setting on the roadways, et cetera. So we've talked in times past about snow removal and all the rest of it. Now that there's seemingly no snow really in the streets, what is the tail end of all of this snow removal? You know, where is it, and what remains to be done?
Well, lots of sunshine and warm weather is what will take care of the rest of it. But there are other tasks the city has to do to make sure that our infrastructure is working properly. The first thing this time of year is to try to get our storm drains open. So the trucks are out. Still a little early. When we look back to last year, this time last year, April 7th, our street sweeper was out sweeping up gravel and cleaning the streets. It's probably not going to be that soon this year. This is a slow breakup.
Okay.
The temperatures are such that the storm drains still aren't breaking free. The nighttime temperatures drop down, so it may look like there's surface water melting and the drains are plugged, and then they are plugged, but they're frozen. So we don't have the means to unfreeze the hundreds of feet or miles of storm drains to let this stuff break out. So it's going to be a long, slow process. But we're out there trying to clean the ones that are, or if it gets too deep, back up some of the melt off. But then again, next piece is to clean the streets with the street sweeper and get the old gravel up so that we have less dust and a good presentation to our city. So those are the two main things for the final piece of winter, early part of spring.
And what I have noticed, where are the crews working? Because there's steam rising from the places where they're attempting to break through here and there. Okay.
And potholes, fixing the potholes that have become evident.
Oh, yes.
It's nice to have frozen potholes in the winter, but this time of year through the transition, the patches are temporary until we can
Let me tell you, I have noticed, well, two things. One, I had the pleasure of driving to Anchorage yesterday and coming back at night. And one of the things that's really interesting to me is in the daylight or when there are lights that are shining down on the road, I can do a little dance and avoid them swaying one way or the other. But in the dark, it's not happening. I mean, on the Glen Highway, I was rudely aware of the potholes because I was cruising along at a proper speed and smooth, and all of a sudden, wham, there was a pothole, and it was invisible to me. Now, coming into Palmer, I note that the entrance there, once you pass the little MEA mini station, that part of the road also seems to be, of the roads that I travel, the most potholed place.
Colony Way.
Yeah.
Yes. And it is a state road that is going to undergo renovation with the whole Glen Way Highway project. So we'll continue to try and make it as safe as possible, but we won't be investing too much into that as far as resurfacing or anything this year. It's undergo a whole renovation when that project starts. Don't know when that project starts. I've heard conflicting dates, times, and project phases, but something will start this spring. Just don't know how much that will be.
Okay, and when? That was going to be my next question, like April 15th or May 1st. I mean, one would hope they take advantage of whatever.
My understanding is it's out for bid now.
Okay.
I haven't looked to see if it's out there, but their last presentation to the council was they were going to start early spring as soon as they could.
Okay.
And then try to get as much done before the state fair and not cause as much disruption to the downtown area as they possibly could, but that's going to affect from Arctic Bogart all the way down to the first inner Springer turnoff. So it's a that's phase one, but I'm hearing now phase one might just be utility locates and not the actual road work. So we might be into several phases. But again, we haven't seen the phasing of the project yet. I think they're still, as late as it is, I think they're still trying to figure that out.
So that is, that'll give us something to talk about. So while we're on the subject of roads, we probably complete the circuit, because Arctic itself, at the last city council meeting, had some attention paid to it, both in terms of crossing it and slowing traffic coming down. And what's the status and brief summary about that?
That is just ideas being discussed at this point. DOT is open to discussion on ways to improve safety. Crossing Arctic, the Old Glen, has always been an issue from the time it was I wasn't here when it happened, I don't believe, upgraded at some point in time, 10 or so years ago. And there was design to be a crossing at some point. But I don't think anybody could come to terms on where that point would be. So it kind of fell by the wayside. Well, the discussions have started again. We want to try again. Again, limit the discussion to one place, maybe two, that the DOT can work with instead of a large amount of input that says here, 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 and here, because we're only going to have one crossing. So we need to come to terms on where that is most appropriate. So what is what's driving the demand for the crossing? Is it to connect that portion of town to the Butte Path, or is it connect that portion of town to downtown? Is it to allow kids to get to and from school? And where are those kids coming from? And that will lead to the best location. So one reason to get across a road tends to favor one crossing, and if two or three reasons favor another, that's the way we should go. But I think in the past there were so many reasons to get across that there was no consensus on what it could be, and I think the state threw their hands up and said, once you figure it out,
of course, yeah, and that's an interesting. And as you're describing that, I'm thinking, okay, if I were trying to figure out which one, how do I measure this? Because one, you don't have crossing, you have the potential. You have, so
there is a crossing at Arctic in Alaska,
right? I'm talking about the potential for crossing. We know that people cross, mm-hmm. but because it's so difficult to cross, not as many people cross as might cross if it were a safe crossing. So yep. You have to project ahead and say, if we put it there, will they cross?
Yes.
It's not a simple, I think it's properly described as you have. It's not a simple matter. And the big point being, if listeners have some opinions about this, yep. And in particular, if they are potential crossers at that area, letting people know would help to make a decision there.
Yep. Yeah. And the other piece to keep in mind is it's not a city road. It's not a collector. It is a state highway. It's part of the Alaska highway system. So it comes with all its bits and pieces of things they try and do and aren't supposed to do on highways. So that's the other trick in the whole piece. So it's not as easy as just taking some paint and painting two white lines.
Right, right. And now that you've mentioned the trails, of course, there's the Butte Trail, so-called, mm-hmm. very nice bike trail. It's used, I seem to think, heavily. I've used it. It's a nice way to go. And yet there's connectors to the other side of Arctic, how to get onto it. It's complex. I'm happy that these things are being thought about, and I look forward to eventually solutions that will work. Right. Okay. So any other street-related pieces we should mention before we move on?
Well, we're working the connector from the bike. So in conjunction with the Glen Highway expansion, up to Bogart, the bike tunnel is just up beyond that. And out that corner, if you look at the corner there, you see the houses boarded up. State bought that property, and they're going to enhance the bike entrance on that side of the trail, so it's not an immediate turn into it. It'll be a wide swing in. So the city's going to take on the other side of the trail and pave that ideally, we'll pave the Auklet that's gravel there, install a bike path, multi-use path that's the same width as the path on the other side of Valley, because Auklet there does have a bike path that goes from Valley Way up to Gulkana. So our intent is to connect, make that connection over the railroad tracks to the bike tunnel, which kind of leads to the point of, okay, now we've got this nice bike path that goes from Auklet up to Palm or Wasilla. I mean, that trail that Bogard, I mean, it goes all the way into Wasilla. So we connect the two towns there, as well as the trail on Palmer Wasilla Highway. So let's connect that trail to the rail trail. And then connect it to the Mat River Park, and then which then needs to be connected to the Butte Trail. So the borough has a piece of that. They're working their the trail system that will they purchased the, what we call the old Copper Road property right there at the bridge,
right,
to be a trailhead, or at least to allow the trail to go from the Mat River Park out to Matanuska City. So that's kind of it's becoming a big hub right there in that general area around the Mat River Park. So our intent is to connect that piece of the trail in the city to that park in one means or another. So it's probably a couple of years off before it's complete, but we're starting the design work now. It was 65% designed when we were doing the waterline work up there in that area around Auklet, Bailey, Bonanza over the last 5 years, I think is what it's been. So this is just the tail end of that, get that road paved, put the bike path in, get it over Valley. And then that may lead to the crosswalk at Valley and Arctic, or potentially down by Gulkana, or down by the Academy Charter, or down by Mat River Park. So you can see the connecting all these things is how do we do it? But what's if we get one crossing across Arctic or the Old Glen, what makes the most sense for everyone, not just connecting the bike paths
right.
that go to a bunch of different places?
Yeah. This is fascinating, and there is that in some ways best kept secret of the tunnel underneath the Glen Highway,
yep.
which is I've used particularly when it dries out and all the rest of it.
The one on south or the one north? We have two tunnels in the city.
The tunnel by the bridge. Yeah. The tunnel by the bridge. I've used that, and of course that one is probably better known because it's right on the Butte bike path. Yeah. So if you're going out and booked, I think many people. But the other one, to the west under the Glen Highway, yeah. is a lesser well known. But it does. I've sometimes gone a bit out of my way to go through it because you don't have to wait. You go slipping right through
that's,
there.
That's true.
It's kind of nice. So that's good. Well, I'm happy. That discussion is ongoing, and once again, if listeners have something to say, they can toss in about it as well. The DOT process for the Glen Highway rehab, et cetera, is farther along and would seem to be pretty much in the finalization stage. But all the rest of this is much earlier, and when you're earlier, you have a chance to maybe have an influence.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, let's switch from roads to, let's talk about something that also came up, and I was very much impressed. I was at the council meeting, and there was a report that seemed to be the result of work by the chief of police and yourself, that dealt with the implications if Palmer Police Department were to provide some service to surrounding areas. And I know that this has attracted quite a bit of attention. So that there have been a number of media reports about this particular topic, and the borough is obviously grappling with it as well. What to do I'm summarizing it to be something like the same level of service that the people within the cities of Palmer and Wasilla enjoy elsewhere in the borough.
Yes.
So summarize what people might have missed from that report.
It's almost like the discussions of Anchorage, police or roads, which do you do?
Yeah.
But we're not having that conversation in Palmer. We've got a good balance. But the same two topics, roads and police, are always at the top of any city's conversation. So the police service area, as mentioned, was just it was an internal study based on conversations around the community about police protection. I've been asked at several times as the topic comes up, why can't the cities expand their services? Well, there's lots of reasons we can't just do that. But the piece internally for the administration, city administration, is it feasible and what would it cost? Notwithstanding all the jurisdictional pieces and the mechanics that have to make it happen, but could the city take on a task like that? And then again, what would it cost? Not only in terms of dollars, but all the other ethereal things that go along with going outside your jurisdictional boundaries. The big piece has always been annexation. The one thing the city can provide to folks that are outside the city that they aren't already getting or being taxed for is police service. Mm-hmm. In the area that we discuss, which basically goes from Trunk Road down to the parks, up the Glen, up to Fishhook, but not across the river. So it's not quite the same as the Greater Palmer Fire Service area. It's really the same as our water district, which is, again, that's a huge chunk of land, a huge chunk of territory, which would pretty much triple the size of our city, if not quadruple the size of our city, if we were to annex that whole piece. But we already provide fire service. The Palmer Fire Department is contracted with the borough to provide fire service to that area through contract, which has been paid for through a mill rate. Mm-hmm. We don't provide road service outside that area, so that's one thing we don't do. But I would say that our road service quality is as good as or better than the road service, not to take away from the contractors, but we have a compact city, so we can focus on what we have. But that would be something if we annex would be new to citizens that came in through annexation. But the one piece that they don't have and isn't provided is a police service area. So that's how we approach this. How would the city be able to provide that service? And that's through a similar contract with the borough,
right?
That's paid for through a mill rate increase or service area mill rate to cover the cost of doing that. But the other piece is just how much can the small city of Palmer and the administration we have manage a chunk of land, because it's not – there's no sheriff that these guys would be contracted for. You know, this now becomes a city task. So the chief, we have extra capacity in our police department. There's no doubt about that. We have a very fine department. Our chief could handle an area that big with double the force, triple the force. I'm very confident that he could, along with the commander. But we expand the number of officers, and then, of course, you expand the number of sergeants, and that area would require more investigative service, so
sure.
Detective, so it basically doubles the force, and that would have to be paid for some way without taking away from the quality of what we're providing the citizens of Palmer with their police department. So that's how big can we get before we start detracting from our core mission, which is protecting Palmer. So that has to be considered, and you can't put a dollar on that. And that's really from my standpoint, that's the piece that I worry about if we go down this road is – so, watering down the services we provide the citizens of Palmer.
Right. And preliminarily, is there any ballpark figure about what the cost would be to the residents of that area to be served in terms of an increased mill rate?
I don't know, because we don't really have a handle on the population density, which really would drive it. Mm-hmm. When you look at the mill rate for the city, the 3 mill within the city limits is about $500,000.
Right.
When you look outside, when the borough talks about 1 mill, it's almost $1 million.
Right.
Or maybe a little bit more. But again, that's a huge area. So for that size that we carved out, I don't know what that would be. All I can tell you is that the cost would be about $3 million. That could be anywhere from 1 to 3 to 4 mil, depending on the density of the area.
The population.
And the other piece is we wouldn't be able to do this overnight.
Sure.
Maybe incrementally, subdivision at a time, to grow the force. But then again, that may be more expensive for those smaller
sure.
subdivisions to get it started. So they may pay 6 mil to get this started. And then as the areas grow, the service rate goes down. And what we see with the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area is it's the lowest mill rate of all the service areas for fire. And it's because of the population densities that it covers. So the cost has spread quite a bit, and we can still provide the same amount of service that we provide here.
What about the actual choice to do this? Obviously, the city has to, if the council agrees, would have to say, yes, we'll do it. But the people served also have a voice, or the borough has a voice. Any sense of the process for, assuming the city would say, we'd be interested in doing it, would people who are residents in those areas get to vote to do it or not, or how'd that work?
That's where it has to start. I mean, this is, again, the conversations at the town halls have been folks that have been very concerned,
sure,
extremely concerned about their police services. Well, there's another segment of the population that is content for various reasons with the level of service they're getting now. And I don't want to take away from the troopers. They do a great job. But we've seen that the valley has grown and the resources haven't. So, I mean, that's a decision that's well beyond the borough and the city. But it affects the citizens. So it has to start with at the citizen level, because it does go to a vote. And there has to be, and I don't know the mechanics or the percentages, but it has to be a majority of the folks in that area that vote yes to have a service area. So it's not something where a city says, okay, we're here, give us your money.
Right.
It's a whole long process that starts at the citizen level with the borough and not the city. The position I was trying to get the city to be in was, if the borough comes and asks, hey, Palmer, are you interested in being a contract for us outside the city? If the city's already taken a position of yes, then great. If the position the city is, which it more or less is right now, you know, it's not something that we're going to pursue. We're interested altruistically in helping folks, but the burden right now looks to be more than we're willing to take on. So this is not a done deal. Palmer is going to provide police protection contract-wise to anybody that asks. So the stance is still, okay, we see what the costs are. We see what the burden is. If folks really want Palmer police protection, the first piece should be bring us inside the city, and then we can – and then we're servicing Palmer citizens, and there's no question about
right
who's getting the service for what. So that's the piece that came out really at the council meeting was, you know, annexation really is how we provide services to citizens. We will consider this, but this isn't our first choice.
Okay. Or for that matter, it could be a mix. There could be it feels to me as if I'm looking for a comprehensive review that puts down and says, okay, Here are the cost factors and the decision points. If you're going to have trooper expansion, for example, does the state pay? What do local residents do amongst that? What kind of service would you get? Here's the annexation. If that's done, it's clean from an administrative standpoint. What are the factors affecting the costs associated with the city willing to, if someone approaches to be annexed, et cetera? And then here's a service area approach. And here are the cost factors and the differences in terms of the service level, et cetera. And that comprehensive review, looking, you've done a nice job from what I've seen of beginning that process. But I think it would be useful beyond doubt for the people who are looking to have a change in their service to have available that kind of detail. With it, you can make some kind of decision, as you're rightly, I think, pointing to, that the people to be served have a chance to say, okay, we're willing to do this, and that implies some kind of vote rather than just a survey.
Yep.
Paul. Okay. Woo! Yes. Well, welcome to the real world. And of course, swirling around at all levels, particularly in Juneau and beyond, are considerations of the what's referred to as the criminal justice system, with people saying, with a focus on policing, there's still all of that foundational aspect of the policing is the face of this whole criminal justice system, but you have the court systems, you have all of the other things that are educational in nature, so that people aren't involved in doing things that require police action.
Yes.
You know, if you have a population that is not committing crimes and whatever, then the level of policing is different.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've covered a lot of ground. And as we come to the end here, as usual, I say, what have we missed that kind of good stuff you want to talk about before we end?
Well, we had our first organizational meeting this week for what's been known as spring cleanup, Palmer cleanup. Right. We're going to take a different approach this year. We want to call it beautification, Palmer Beautification Week. Week long, not just one day. And it's been similar to that in the past. We've kind of lost focus, I think, over time. But we want to get the community needs to be involved in Palmer beautification. And the city needs to assist with means to do that. So we're looking at, again, a week-long event where Monday and Tuesday is focused on organic collection. Clean your yards, mow your lawns, get your sticks and twigs bundled up, put them on the street, and we'll come pick those up Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on how we break up the city. Thursday and Friday are, you know, if you've had household stuff, not kitchen garbage, but household trash that's piled up over years that you either haven't been able to get rid of for whatever reason, or it's uncovered this year and it's time to get rid of it, whether it's an old fridge, smoker, barbecue grill, lawnmower that just doesn't work, those types of things. If you can't get it at the dump with your borough coupon for a free dump, then we'll coordinate with the city, and we're going to go through Thursday and Friday and pick that kind of stuff up. We want to get volunteer organizations and individuals to either provide their names, so when folks call on for an appointment for cleanup, we've got additional help that can come out. So for seniors or folks that have accessibility issues that can't get the yards cleaned up, we've got a roster we can refer.
Oh, very nice.
That's our intent. Again, the first meeting, so lots of things we've discussed. And then if the organic piece proves to be worthwhile, basically how much tonnage of grass clippings we pick up, a lot of folks put that in their garbage can. So if we can reduce the amount of waste that we're hauling, that reduces the cost because we do pay the borough to dump. So that would bring our cost down. So for the spring, summer, if this looks like it might be fruitful for this week, then we'll do a little survey. But really it's going to be based on how many tons of grass and sticks we pick up. We might do it again monthly or potentially weekly, the way the grass grows here. So it's kind of a test bed.
Oh, wonderful.
So, spring beautification, culminating Saturday at the pavilion with the barbecue and the chamber's annual bicycle drawing. So we hope that's going to be a good week for the city and not just a one day.
Okay, remind listeners when that will happen.
So it starts May 7th, which is a Monday, and culminates on Saturday, May 12th.
Okay. Look forward to that, because that implies it'll be warm, the snow will be gone, and there'll be grass clippings.
Yes. The way we're going right now, I think May will be safe, but you never know between now and then if we'll get another snowstorm or heavy rains. It's wonderful to be in Alaska.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that wraps it up for now.
That's a good image. Looking forward to it. Well, I want to thank Nate Wallace, Palmer City Manager, for coming in again and sharing on topics of interest and topics that will impact the lives of people living in Palmer. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.